Hello, this is Bobby Rio from TSB Magazine, tsbmag.com. I welcome you to another interview in our interview series. The entire collection of interviews and podcasts can be found at greatseducer.com. This is an interview I just completed with Scott McKay. Many of you have probably been getting bombarded with emails talking about Scott's new program, The Master Plan. When I took a look at the sales letter a while back, it grabbed my attention because it spoke to a lot of elements that have been on my mind lately, such as the concepts of character, masculinity, and the idea of living, breathing confidence. I contacted Scott and asked him if he wanted to do a quick interview. He agreed, but only under the condition that we really give the listeners some value. So you'll find in this hour-long interview is pure content. This is not Scott trying to sell you the master plan, and I think if you listen to any of my interviews, you know that they're always chock full of content. But Scott really went out of his way to give you guys something special, some things you can take out of this interview immediately. By the way, if you've been thinking about ordering Scott's master plan, you might want to take another look at the bonuses he's giving away with it. He got a lot of really good guys to give some solid stuff out for free. Hell, even Stephen Nash has given away his entire natural game course just as a bonus. You can see the list of bonuses at tsbmag.com/masterplan. Anyway, let's get into this interview because I think it's something that's going to really, really enjoy.
Hey, this is Bobby Rio. Today I'm interviewing dating coach and founder of X and Y Communications, Scott McKay. And even though Scott is mainly known for his role as helping men go for good to great in the dating department, Scott really has a tremendous presence all across the internet, particularly on Twitter, where he has over 70,000 followers and growing daily. Scott, would you just like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Hey, Bobby, it's good to be here, man. Yeah, I'd like to just let everybody know that I've been out here for about 2 years now. And helping guys go from good to great, just like you said, has sort of become what we're best known for. Started this basically after I got a divorce and started meeting women, studied some David D and other things like that, and man, it just started working. And I had decided that I wanted to not be a victim after my first wife left me. You know, I'm a little bit older than some of the guys out there. I've been kicked to the curb by an ex-wife here. And I said, you know, she took my daughter with her. And at the same time, I lost my job. And it got to be that point that I think just about every guy tends to go through where you just hit rock bottom and say, hey, man, you know what? Something's got to change. Something's got to give. So what I did was I decided, hey, you know what? I am not going to accept that none of this was my fault and that I was just kind of a victim here. And all my friends, my family, everybody was saying, hey, look, you know what? You really couldn't have been much nicer a guy, Scott. We really don't know what happened here. I said, well, you know what? I need to get under the hood, figure out what it means to be the kind of man women really want, and understand women a little better so that this just doesn't happen again. And as I studied more and more, I ended up getting better and better women in my life and more of them. And it was really an eye-opening experience just how if you understand what it is that women want and you become that guy they're looking for, they naturally gravitate to you. There's no tricks. There's no techniques. You don't have to really do anything underhanded or underground. You can even just sit there and tell them what you've been studying, what you've been doing, what you've been reading, and they'll be incredibly receptive to it. So sure enough, Bobby, my friend starts saying, well, Scott, you know, you're not the greatest looking guy in the world. What's going on here? How are you getting these women to show up with you? And I started sharing it with them. And they said, you know what, you should probably share that in some sort of formal way. So I didn't even know what email marketing was. I didn't even know there was an AWeber or a Constant Contact. I just started writing emails to some friends. And ironically, most of those friends turned out being not just guys I knew, but some of the women that I had actually said, you know, you're a really nice woman, but I think I just want to be friends with you. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, imagine that, a guy putting a woman in just your friend zone. And they said, you know, you should tell more guys about how to act on dates because, you know, you did kind of a good job at that. So I was emailing my buddies and women I had dated my first newsletter. It went to 14 people. I actually dug up the old list and counted it in late 2005 around Christmas time. And since then, obviously, like you said, it has just grown. We reach more than 100,000 people between Emily and I worldwide now, and it's obviously just snowballing. And of course, I just mentioned Emily. All this kind of ended well for me. And it's one of the things I talk about that's sort of contrary to some of the things that happen in the seduction community. And I believe that if you get married to the right woman and it's your choice to get married, then that's a good thing. I don't necessarily think that sawing off your balls is the equivalent of getting married. And that's something we can talk about too if you want. But that's pretty much how we got started. And today, you know, we get success stories. We get guys who are finding the women of their dreams. We have guys who have gone dateless for a decade or more, trying to figure out which woman of many to go out with tonight. And it's just an incredibly, incredibly gratifying experience. Best work I've ever had.
That's interesting. You said, so the first time you got into this, you were actually coming out of a divorce and re-entering into the market, right?
Sure, yeah.
So what kind of advice do you have for a lot of guys? That's actually a unique situation compared to a lot of the guys who teach the younger generation who's just hitting the bars for the first time. But there is that, especially growing population of guys, in their 30s who are actually coming back into the field who may be a little bit intimidated. And, what advice do you usually give them just to start with?
Well, I'll tell you what, the difference between a guy who's in his 30s, 40s or older who's coming out of a long relationship that culminated in a tough divorce and a guy who, matter of fact, we got a guy 19 who's divorced already. Just got an email from him the other day. I mean, it can happen to anybody for the craziest reasons. By the way, he married a stripper. So let that be a lesson to you guys out there. You can find a great sexual woman who is not taking her clothes off for other guys with that baggage. Fellas, they're out there, believe me. There's the only difference between those guys who are older coming out of that relationship that went sour and a guy who's just been dumped by a girl he really liked is the time factor. And sometimes the time can actually be on your side. So in any of these situations, I always tell guys, look, if you need some time to regroup, figure out what happened and move on, go for it. But don't wait an entire year of your life to get out there and date and meet women just because some mainstream dating advice book told you you had to. You're going to find, Bobby, that I really am just not so into putting a standard timeline on anything. I mean, there's this one guy out there teaching women now, hey, you know what? Your job is going to give you a 90-day probation period. So why don't you give every guy a 90-day probation period and don't have sex with a guy until you've known him for 90 days. Well, where did you get 90 days? I mean, 90 days for everybody, cookie cutter across the board. Hey, there's women out there, because of what they believe, who shouldn't have sex until they're married. Don't tell them they should have sex in 90 days after they meet a guy. And for other people, they may feel perfectly okay with a more casual sexual relationship. Why impose what you believe on someone else? So, guys, don't let someone tell you what the timeline is. Don't let somebody else's philosophy of life get in the way of what you feel. Whenever you feel like you're ready to go out and meet some women, you probably are ready to go out and meet some women. In fact, you were probably ready long before you even figured that out. Divorces can happen over a lot of time. There's some places where guys have been separated from a woman they no longer were really married to, at least emotionally, for a couple years. Why does that guy need to wait an extra year? That guy needs to go out and meet some women. And guys, you don't have to marry and get into some big, drawn-out, dramatic relationship with every woman you meet. Go out and learn what women are like. You know what one of the most valuable things you can get from going out and meeting women again after a divorce or after a big breakup, guys? You find out all women aren't like your ex. You know, she may have been a woman who had a lot of baggage. She may have had some problems. She may not have treated you right. She may have made you feel less than a man in some ways. Guys, there are some great women out there. And the sooner you get to know several of them, the more the better, the more you're going to realize that there's, women are human beings. Some of them are pretty nice people. Some of them aren't so much. And you're going to figure out that not every woman's like your ex. You can meet some truly fantastic women, and certainly my wife is one of them.
And I believe you said you met your wife online, right?
I did, absolutely. I'm proud of it.
And how do you feel about, is that something that you recommend guys doing, getting involved with the online dating scene?
I do. I think there's different places to meet women, obviously. There's not one that's better than others. But I tell you, I was this guy who tells me that I worked for an IT company, worked out of my home, and this was just literally like going on Amazon.com for women. It was like, wow, look, here is a site like Match.com, and I can just look at the pictures of women, read about them, and put them even into my favorites file, contact them whenever I'm ready, save some for later. It's just like being a kid in a candy store. And the one thing about online dating is not only is it incredibly convenient if you're a guy who's on the computer sometimes, it shows you when women are available or if they're not available, at least, you know, presumptively, right? We hope they're all available. And we hope you're available if you're on there. And so when it's going by the rules and you're on an actual dating site, like a Match.com, you're going to be able to know something about a woman, find out about her, find out her age, what she's been through a little bit about her personality, and pre-screen them even before you meet them. So that by the time you get on the phone with them and meet these women, you should know something about them, and it should really just be smooth like butter. The one caveat with online dating, though, is so many guys do so many things wrong up front, and then they never ask for help on how to get it right. So literally, guys, even though 90% of all men quit in shame and disgust online dating sites within 90 days, that 10% of you guys out there who are going to figure out the ropes, figure out how to get a woman's attention the right way online, you're going to be the guy who ends up literally with all the high-quality women. It's just a matter of simple arithmetic, and that's very exciting about online dating. So, yeah, guys, if you're just getting out of a door, you know, even if you're just interested in meeting some women, get online. I've got guys who are dating. One guy in Colorado was dating a woman who was a contestant on one of the seasons of The Bachelor. I've got another guy in Los Angeles, and he was dating a woman who literally, in her online profile, was talking about the TV show she was on. So, I mean, she's an actress. Another guy was dating a woman who was on one of the national gymnastic teams from one of the Eastern Bloc countries who emigrated to the United States. Man, there are some women online these days who are just amazing. You just have to make sure they're the only ones you go after.
Yep.
But yeah, online dating's a bonanza.
And I got to ask, you've invested a lot of time into Twitter. What opportunities do you think Twitter provides for guys looking to socialize, expand their lifestyle, and even possibly meet women?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Back in December, which basically is tantamount to the Stone Age of Twitter at this point, I wrote a book and decided I was just going to give it away to all my Twitter friends called Twiduction, How to Meet Women on Twitter. And I'll tell you what, it really created a firestorm when I first put it out there. Because back in December, everybody was thinking, okay, well, Twitter is this place where we just kind of talk 140 characters to each other, and everybody had their kind of own mindset about what Twitter should be. And I started getting hate mail, like, how dare you try to get people to meet each other on a site like Twitter? Twitter isn't about, like, I got one email. This guy got my email address and emailed me. It was a guy, too, no less, not even a woman. Because, you know, how dare you try to turn Twitter into a dating site? Twitter is for things people are interested to talk about. How did he say it? He said, Twitter is a forum for people who are interested in talking about what they're interested in life. It's not for talking about marketing and dating. And so I simply, you know, took a page out of William F. Buckley Jr. and emailed him back and said, what if I'm interested in dating and marketing? And I didn't get an answer from him. And see, it was funny because people, it was just such an iconoclastic thought to say Twitter is a dating site, meeting women on Twitter, are you kidding me? A lot of people were interested and excited. I mean, a lot of people downloaded the book, and they still do every day. But interestingly, between December, and we're talking December of last year, 2008, to now, which when we speak is late April, Twitter has been transformed. It's a completely different place. I mean, having 1,000 followers was impressive back in December. Now, you know, Ashton Kutcher just rolled over 1.2 million. And someone like Oprah, of all people, can get on Twitter and have like 350,000 the next morning. Twitter is becoming just a powerhouse of social influence. And with those celebrities like the Ashton Kutchers and Demi Moores and Britney Spears, as God forbid, of the world, come women who are interested in celebrities.
Yeah.
And as the Twitter interface, as Twittering becomes more mainstream, I mean, you hear about Twitter everywhere these days, it isn't just techie people anymore. It isn't a bunch of guys talking about IT stuff in their blogs anymore. More and more, even more so, I mean, to the nth degree more so than when I first wrote the book in December, I look at my Twitch stream, my stream of messages coming across Twitter, and it's just avatar of pretty girl after pretty girl after pretty girl. And sure, you know, some of them are bogus, right? You don't get that anywhere.
Yeah.
But if you look at some of these avatars and click through their profiles, you see, you know, I'm a veterinary nurse living in, you know, Boston, Massachusetts. And you click on her picture, and she's just the girl next door. She's real cute, you know. And then you click on these profiles, one after another, sharp, intelligent woman after sharp, intelligent woman. And think about it, Bobby. Unless you're socially astute, unless you have social skill, you're probably not going to like Twitter much. I mean people suck on Twitter. I mean, you've probably figured that out already.
Yeah.
So here you have a bunch of women who want to talk, and they're sharp, and they're intelligent. And that says to me, I've got to figure out, if I'm a single guy, a way to meet some of these women. Right now, I have an interview with a cute little blonde gal named Kia on my front page for the master plan. And that particular interview is a real eye-opener for any guy who watches it, because Kia's real cute, she's sharp, and she's dateless. She's utterly dateless. And it's because guys don't have the guts to approach her. And she talks about that. She talks about what women really want, and it's an interesting thing for most guys to watch. But the key thing is, I met Kia on Twitter. Kia works with some of the guys I met on Twitter who work for a certain company, and Kia's on Twitter with them. Now, I wasn't going looking for a date with Kia, obviously, but just literally by almost accident, I found out she was on Twitter. And so not only is she this woman who's dateless, who's pretty hot and pretty sharp, I mean, she's as sweet as she is cute, too. She's on Twitter. She's an example. So, guys, here's what you need to do. You need to go to Twitter.com, T-W-I-T-T-E-R.com. Get you an account. Couldn't be simpler. And just start joining conversations. Don't say, look, I'm eating hot dogs for dinner, or I'm on my way to work. Don't literally answer the question, what am I doing? Jump into some conversations. If you see a pretty girl who's asking something or talking about something and you have the answer, just provide the answer. Don't throw a bunch of links out there. Don't throw a bunch of pickup lines out there. And just start making conversation. And, you know, my book at twiduction.com is free. You know, T-W-I-D-U-C-T-I-O-N. There's nothing to buy. Just go download the book. Get on my mailing list. Get my newsletter. I write good newsletters anyway. Get the free book. It's all yours. And read what's in it, and I'll give you everything you could possibly want to know about Twitter. And even if you're on Match.com or a Yahoo.com personals or anything like that, what you want to do is you want to practice first emails on Twitter. Why? Because, first of all, you're going to get instantaneous response or lack thereof to what you write. You're going to find out real fast what women respond positively to and what they don't, and I promise you that's transferable to the first emails you send to women on dating sites. Second of all, so many guys tell women their entire life stories on their first emails on Match.com or on Plenty of Fish. Guys, you got to stop that. That's creeping women out. If you get into the habit of writing 140-character messages to women to engage them and to, you know, to build interest and build rapport, I promise you your first emails on Match.com are going to instantly become better. And that's kind of a hidden benefit of being on Twitter if you're a guy looking for women.
Yeah, you know, I had never even thought of Twitter as having that, and I think it was your site that I first realized it. And I kind of had been in and out, you know, sticking my foot in Twitter, testing it, and then really just jumped into it about a few weeks ago, and you're totally right. I mean, for those that don't know that much about Twitter, you know, the communication, you send something out there, if you put an @ in front of it, that's how they communicate directly to you. And I'd say 90% of my @ replies are from women who are looking to, you know, to answer a question I threw out there. And, you know, and I'm not on there even looking for women, and I'm getting more conversations with women than men. And you're right.
That's right.
These aren't women that are looking to sell you things. They're not, they, you know, they're not women looking to push their blogs or their products. They're just women on there just looking to answer questions and talk and socialize.
Right. It's absolutely true. And I'll tell you something, Bobby. I was just talking to a friend about this. Just within the past few weeks, there's been a noticeable increase in the number of women on Twitter. Just within the past few weeks. So this can only become more significant from here.
Yeah, you made a good point. I hadn't even thought of that. Just the fact that, like, Ashton Kutcher, that whole story of him and versus CNN, that is going to bring a lot of this, the standard, you know, girl next door, college girl, you know, it's going to bring in that whole new flood of people that hadn't really been exposed to Twitter that are now going to be jumping in there.
Oh, yeah. Women love to hear about celebrities. It draws them like moths to a flame. But here's the funny part. As much as they can read what's going on in real time with P. Diddy or Ellen DeGeneres, they're not going to be able to really have conversations on a normal basis with those people. They're still going to get involved with Twitter. They're going to get bit by it, and they're going to want to talk to somebody. And that someone's going to be you and me or whoever else has the guts to talk to them. Now, that said, there's something interesting about Twitter in that you can interact with women on Twitter. Something incredibly odd that I'm still just scratching my head over happened the other night. I found Kathy Ireland. Remember the swimsuit model from...
Oh, yeah. I remember 1987.
Right, right. Well, you know, she's probably, what, 50 now? So now she's involved with a bunch of philanthropic efforts. But, man, she has her pictures on Twitter. And, you know, she just started Twittering, obviously. It seemed like it was really her because she was talking about things that, well, she wouldn't be talking about if it wasn't her. Like, you know,
yeah.
I am so interested in single moms and getting them, you know, the resources they need, blah, blah, blah. And... I couldn't help it. I couldn't draw my fingers away from the keyboard. I went at Kathy Ireland. Didn't I tell you not to use pictures of yourself that are 10 years old when you get on sites like this? Bad girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lifted right out of cocky and funny. And I hit send. And she answered me.
Oh,
it worked. I mean, I was like, oh, my God, I got to show Emily this, you know. And Emily couldn't believe it. She was just cracking up. And it's funny because I ended up having to introduce her to Emily because I was like, I can't sit here and run cocky and funny on Kathy Ireland. I'm a married man. But she was like, oh, do you really think my pictures look that bad? And she was like seeking approval from me. I'm like, this is Kathy Ireland? And I looked at the website and I looked at the responses she was getting from other people. And I literally thought, you know, this must be fake. But no, it's the truth. And it turns out that she's gotten a bunch of followers since then. And I'm telling you guys, your limitations are self-imposed regarding who you think is going to talk to you online or not talk to you online. And all I could think to myself is, look, if I can get Kathy Ireland to respond to me, then any guy should be able to get any woman online to respond to him, theoretically. I mean, what's the big deal, you know? And Twitter is just this incredible open opportunity to talk to people. And it's free. It doesn't even cost you anything. I mean, I hope that never changes. But the caveat, of course, is not everybody's on Twitter to date. As a matter of fact, most people aren't on Twitter to date. So it's kind of like the same approach you would have on a Facebook, where you kind of have to just start a conversation that isn't really sexually charged up front and then just build that rapport over time and then hopefully definitely actually meet in real life. And then, you know, obviously on Twitter you need to figure out through a site like Twello, or even through putting a hashtag for your hometown on search.twitter.com, figuring out who the women are who are close to you and Twittering with women who are in your hometown so you don't get all wadded up in some kind of long-distance thing. That's always a great place to start, too.
All right, do you want to just give them that site that they can download your free Twitter book just before we move on, just so that anybody who is interested in that can hear that one more time?
Absolutely, man. Twiduction.com. TWIDUCTION.com. And get on my newsletter, and the book's yours. It's free. It's like 80 pages.
All right, excellent. And, I mean, as far as guys who are listening to this who want to kind of get started changing their game or, you know, maybe even taking it to the next level, what is your experience in saying what's the best way for a guy to get started in his path to both enhancing his lifestyle and more importantly his dating life?
Wow, that's kind of an interesting question. Where's the very first place to start? Well, I think it depends right now on where you are and what's working for you. Figure out what's working for you and figure out what's not working for you. I just did a video. It's pretty funny. I'll be throwing this out on Twitter too. And it's be yourself, good dating advice. And it seems to me everybody who wants to give somebody dating advice but doesn't do a whole lot of dating advice on a regular basis tells people, hey, look, just be yourself. It'll be okay. But my comeback is, what if being myself isn't working?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, it's easy for you to go and say that if it's working for you, if you're just naturally attracting people of the opposite sex to you. But for some other people, they may be 100% authentic. And yet, it's not all that attractive to members of the opposite sex. That doesn't mean that person's being fake. There's not be fake and not attract someone, and then be authentic and definitely attract everyone. So, obviously, first of all, the best place to start is if you're putting up a front, if you're being someone you're not, then make sure you're doing that for the right reasons. And the right reason is because I want to change habits and intentionalize behavior until those habits become part of my true nature. That's valid. But if you're, you know, someone who is this particular personality in front of a certain social group, and then you go to another social group and you're a completely different person, that's just hypocrisy, and women can look through that and they don't trust it. Meanwhile, if you are, you know, rock solid, but you're not attracting women, look in the mirror and figure out what it is that you're not doing that guys who are attracting women are doing. And you can do a lot of this by studying, but the most important thing for any guy who's just starting out is not to sit there and study, and read, but go actually talk to women. Go actually field test some of the things you're learning. I think a lot of guys, they get involved with like the seduction community, and they hear guys saying, hey, you know what, this is for entertainment purposes only. And Bobby, they take them seriously. This is just for entertainment purposes only. So you get a lot of guys who are absolutely horrified to actually talk to women. But as long as they're involved with a community of other guys who feel the same way, together they can feel like, hey, you know, I am going to get around to doing something about this. I'm not just sitting on my butt doing nothing. But guys, if you ever want to become truly good with women, you're going to have to actually talk to some women. Online dating is a great place to start if you're just deathly afraid to talk to women socially. But hey, just start conversations. Go to the bank, go to the grocery store, and talk to anyone. And then you're going to find yourself over time, may not be tomorrow morning, but you're going to find yourself sooner than later feeling more comfortable about talking to members of the opposite sex. And that's very, very important. But I can't stress enough, you know, find a couple guys you're comfortable learning from, learn what they've got to teach, and start putting it in practice. Don't just become, don't start building a library of seduction community products just so you have them all and feel better about yourself. It's not just for entertainment purposes only. Well, I don't know, some guys' stuff may be just for entertainment purposes only, but I like opening up my inbox and reading stories from guys who are actually meeting high-quality women where they weren't before. And in order to do that, it's like I've always said, I can pack your parachute for you, I can teach you to arch, look, reach, and pull, but when you're standing at the door of that airplane, it's you who's going to have to decide to jump out or not. And the good news about women is, you know, if the chute doesn't deploy, you're not going to go splat, right?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the only way not to deploy is if you don't deploy. So, guys, take a deep breath. Feel the adrenaline rush of meeting a great woman. And I promise you, as long as you approach them with some authenticity, good authenticity like we're talking about, and not something that insults them, and you carry yourself with a certain degree of confidence, and you realize these women want to meet guys as much as you want to meet women, it'll end well for you. If you don't trust women, if you think all women are just out for your money, if you think they're all really just trying to play keep away with you in the sexual department, it's not going to end well for you because women can sniff out the fact that you don't trust them. It's like when you meet a woman who's a man-hater. I mean, she may be a pretty face, she may have sexual fantasies about her, but you know, you're not going to marry someone like that. And we get emails all the time from women who are like that saying, how come I can't find a great man? All these men are all the same. They only want one thing from me. Well, that's why you're not meeting a great man, because the men who actually respect women are staying away from you.
Yeah.
So it all, when you all get right down to it, men, women, some of us are nice, some of us are not so nice, but all of us are human beings. The only difference is who we're sexually attracted to. So guys, that is really where you start. Now, I think there is one little caveat. I think you also have to know what you want as soon as possible. And guys, whatever it is you want, that's okay as long as you're congruent with that. In other words, if you come into this and say, you know what I really want? I really want a great girlfriend who rubs my back and makes me dinner, who I can go on trips with and who I can trust, and you know, we kind of look good in pictures together, and who doesn't have a crazy family, and we can kind of go on mountain bike trips or whatever. I just want a great girlfriend and some stability. Then you don't want to go learn how to be a pickup artist and notch your bedpost every night. That's not the training you want. But know what you want ahead of time. Meanwhile, if you're a guy who wants to meet as many women as possible and sow your wild oats a little bit, you probably shouldn't be watching Oprah. You know what I mean? You got to know what you want, and you've got to follow that path. And I think that's something a lot of dating and seduction advice teachers are afraid to say to guys. But I think it's got to be said. And the other thing is, are you going to go for quantity up front and quality later, or how are you going to do it? And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. When I got done with my divorce, I wanted to meet a lot of women. I dated a lot of women. I had some perfectly wonderful chicks come into my life, and I said to them, look, I'm just not ready to get married, and we're going to have to break up. Why? Because I wasn't done dating yet. But as I evolved my way of thinking, I said, you know, I wouldn't mind having another kid. And when I have a kid, I don't just want to see that kid on weekends and pay child support. I want to raise that kid. I want to have a shared history with someone. I want to have someone who's a cheerleader for my life's work, who believes in that with me and can be my teammate with me. I don't want just a train of women coming in and out of my life for the rest of my life. It's been fun for a few years, and it's been really nice to be able to look at my schedule and go, okay, do I go out with the blonde or the brunette tonight and really enjoy that? But that evolved in my life. And I decided, okay, you know what? I want some stability. I want to get on with my life's work. I actually want to get on with teaching some more guys about this stuff because I'm passionate about it. So what I wanted at a certain point, and this happened just about 3 years ago for me, I said, okay, you know what? I've raised the bar in terms of the type of women I'm attracted in my life to about as high as it's going to go. I'm dating the women of my dreams. I'm dating several at once. I want, you know, I could look at each one of these women, Bobby, and say, I could spend the rest of my life with any of these three women in front of me right now. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a sobering thought because there was nothing wrong with any of them. So I said, all right, I'm going to pick one of these women. Because I really do want to get married again. It's what I want, you see. I have control over my dating life. When guys don't have control and women are the ones who are in control of them, that's when they do things they don't want to do, like get married when they don't want to get married, make women pregnant when they didn't want the woman to become pregnant. Bad decisions are born of feeling like you're not in control. So I wanted to share that with guys. So I was at a point where I was in control. And which one of these three women am I going to date? I'm going to give myself 90 days. And during that 90 days, I met Emily, almost by happenstance, but online. And what I did was, part of that process for me of picking one of those three women was, you know what I'm going to do? I haven't been online for a month. I'm going to go online, just cast the net one more time, and see who I come up with. And Emily was one of the women I came up with. And strangely, because I wasn't really looking for a date, somehow the first emails I wrote to all those women, like six or eight of them that I picked out, all six or eight women responded. I mean, that's a testimony to how when you're completely comfortable and confident and just write to women, how they can sense that you're a guy with options and they gravitate to that. I mean, women can smell desperation in first emails, like Dobermans can smell fear. And I went out with about four of those women. I mean, understand, I wasn't in any kind of exclusive relationship with any of the women I was dating. They all knew about each other. And I met Emily, and I talked to her on the phone. I said, you know, this is going to end one of two ways. Either I'm going to confirm that I've raised the bar as high as it's going to go with one of these women in my life, or all three of those women are really in trouble. And I met Emily, and I knew all three of those women were really in trouble very fast. So that's how I actually met Emily, is when I felt the bar could not be raised any higher, and I already knew what I wanted in my life, I raised the bar higher. And to this day, there's nothing more I could possibly ask in a female companion, in a wife, in a woman in general, than what Emily offers. I mean, she doesn't even get PMS. I mean, she's rock solid all week, all month long. Just sweet and honest and emotionally stable and beautiful and, you know, high characters they come. And we actually get along. And so, guys, once you know what you want, pursue what you want, and don't let somebody else tell you there's something wrong with that. People are like, well, Scott, you know, you're a married dating coach. How can you be a married dating coach? Well, guess what? When I was a single dating coach, people were like, how can you be a dating coach when you're not even married yet? So, you know, what? Does nobody have anything to offer here? Guys, it's all about you, the path you're on right now, and you having control of your dating life. I will say this. When you're starting out, don't do anything stupid up front that's going to preclude you from changing those decisions later. And what I mean by that is, if you decide you want to hire a bunch of prostitutes and date a bunch of strippers and have sex with 7,000 women, you will have difficulty later deciding, you know what, I really want a woman of high character who is relatively sexually inexperienced and build a very trusting relationship with her, because she's not going to want to hear about your past and it could get in the way. So always, always bear that in mind when you make your decisions up front.
You know, that is an excellent point that you're bringing up, is because I do think a lot of guys, they read a book like The Game, or they watch, they watch the VH1 show, and they get online, and all of a sudden they just get swept up in that community mindset of, I got to be a pickup artist. And that's not really what they wanted to do when they decided they needed to improve their chance with women. Like you said, there are a lot of guys out there who just generally want to meet the right girl or just want to have choice, and they get swept up in this mentality of, I have to be a pickup artist, and then they don't see that they're getting results because their inner desire isn't congruent with what they're going after. And I do totally agree that you have to really develop a strong mindset of what you want before you can really achieve it.
Yeah, and very well said. And then, of course, you have to go out and deserve it. You have to deserve what you want, which is a major tagline of everything I do.
You also, a little earlier, you brought up a real interesting point, Scott, where you said that, when if a guy's going out and trying to change, he's not faking it if it's really who he wants to become. And I think that is really great, because I do think a lot of guys get hung up in that fact of, like, they feel like they're being somebody that they're not. But if you really do want to change, eventually you have to go through that point where you're going to feel like this isn't you. Now, in that stage, what particular characteristics do you think guys should try to implement? Like, what are the traits that will help a man, no matter what he's going after with a woman, whether he does want the endless one night stands or he does want the wife and kid? You know, is there any particular traits that are universal that all men should have in terms of getting what they want, achieving their goals?
Well, I'll tell you, I do. I think there's a set of traits that I call the big four. And what I do, though, is I tell guys that those big four traits are going to help you get higher quality women. The caveat, and, you know, maybe I should share some more general traits for just getting any woman, and maybe I'll do that first, but the big four might actually scare away women of low character who just want to take you for a ride. They may actually resent you for being a big four guy. So I want to give that caveat out there, because I got guys out there who are just incredible, high-quality guys, and they kind of aim low, and they don't hear back from the woman online, or they get kind of a surly response from women. It's not that they're being rejected. It's just that either they feel other women are feeling like they're too good to be true, or that these guys are trying to trick women because these women don't feel like they deserve the guy. Like I said, everybody's human. It happens, you know. It's just like when you see this cam girl on an email sent to you, and she's just hot, and you're like a 50-year-old guy, and she's 18 and just perky as hell, and she's saying, oh, come talk to me. I've already decided you're the guy for me. It's sort of too good to be true.
Yeah.
Well, when Prince Charming comes riding in as a knight in shining armor to a woman who's got zero self-esteem, her first response is not going to be, you know, finally my guy. Her response is going to be, yeah, what's the catch? What's wrong with this picture? This can't possibly be happening to me. Meanwhile, the guy, Mr. Knight in Shining Armor, is going, oh, I've been rejected again. You see how that works?
Yeah.
So use what I'm about to tell you with extreme caution, guys. If you want to be a guy who attracts high-quality women, you've got to be a big four guy. The big four are masculinity, confidence, the ability to inspire confidence, meaning making a woman feel safe and secure in your presence. Call it rapport if you want to. Four, character. Nobody ever talks about character, but we're going to talk about character. So you're saying, all right, Scott, I thought you were going to tell us the ways that, you know, I could just attract any woman. If you want to attract any woman, guy, let me say it again. If you want to attract any woman, guys, all you need are the big two. The big two. Arguably the big three, but I really only think the big two. All you have to be is masculine and confident, and you can walk into a bar and get more women right now. You can start more conversations. Why? Well, masculinity. Let's define masculinity. Most of us as guys confuse masculinity with machismo. In other words, I can drink more beer than any of my buddies. I can drive faster than any of my buddies. I have a badder ass car or motorcycle than any of my buddies. I have a better job. I've been more places. I've been out with, you know, model quality women where my buddies haven't. Anything we high five each other over, you know, I play Xbox better than you do. My golf handicap is lower. All those competitive nature things, all those things we laugh about and high five each other as guys when we're hanging out with each other, that's not necessarily what women see as masculine. Although it might very well be the things we do with each other as buddies to hang out. But that's not what's going to impress women. What's going to impress women, when a woman knows a guy is in front of her, a real man is in front of her, is when he is a man who has courage. Not, you know, hey, y'all, watch this, crazy courage. But she knows he's the kind of guy who, when something goes bump in the night, will be the first guy out of the bedroom to see what's up. That's a man with courage. He's a man who can make decisions. He plans a date, has an evening plan for her. It doesn't have to be an evening where you spend a lot of money. It just has to be an evening where you have a plan. A man whose leadership she can trust. A man has a woman's best interest at heart and does not put her in unsafe situations. And, of course, that's part of the third one, too. Right, that kind of crosses over a little bit. A man has direction. He has a plan for his whole life. I call it AMPAR, which is ambition, motivation, passion, you know, that causes achievements and can be replicated all over again, AMPAR. You know, that kind of man, the guy with a passion for something, the guy with a life purpose, that's the kind of man who feeds a woman's feminine nature to be supportive, to be a nurturer, to be proud of you as a guy, to feel safe so she can express feminine joy in your presence. That which ignites femininity is what is really masculine. And of course, we could talk about that all day, so let's move on. Confidence. I believe you should know me. I believe I am worthwhile for a woman to know. I believe that in a social situation, I'm going to do good instead of bad. I'm not going to mess up. I'm not going to trip over my words. I am someone a woman is going to be glad to have met. I'm not bothering her. And see, when you have confidence in yourself, the beauty of the situation is women are hardwired, guys, to follow your lead. I talk about this all the time. Women want a man who can lead. Even if she's a woman who has excelled in the business world and has leadership skills of her own, she's still going to look for a guy that she can't lead around by a ring in his nose. If a woman can pwn you, guys, you're toast. And that's why a lot of really sharp, very socially powerful, intelligent women have a hard time meeting a guy because they can't find a guy they can respect. But once you're a guy who has pronounced leadership skills, a woman can't wait to let you take the lead so she can just express that feminine joy again. Confidence. Confidence is you saying to that woman, I'm worthy of all those things because I believe it first, and then you can follow my lead, and because I believe it, you're going to be able to believe it. About a year ago, you know, whenever you're on the David D'Angelo disc series, you're grandfathered in, so he sends you all of them every month. And every month I listen to him. I put him in, and about a year ago, God was on. And for the first couple minutes of the program, he talked about just having unflappable confidence. Doesn't matter what you look like, who you are. You can go and just step up and say, my name is so-and-so. I'm glad to know you. You're glad to know me. And usually the woman will say, okay, because she's following your lead. And for the rest of the 58 minutes, he talked about outer game. He talked about, you know, the kind of crazy peacocking he does, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Emily, about 15, 20 minutes into it, she's sitting next to me in the car listening to the CD. She goes, this could have been a two-minute interview. Does this guy realize that everything he's talking about hinges on the confidence? The confidence was all he needed. Some of this other stuff he's talking about might actually be getting in the way with some women. All he really ever needed was the confidence. And I looked at her and went, you know, you're absolutely right. So, you know, we can assuage ourselves thinking, hey, you know what? It was something I was wearing. It was my car, blah, 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 that got me all these women. If you have that nice car, you might want to believe that, even though other guys have a limiting belief that says, hey, you know what? I don't have a nice car, so I can't get any women. It's not the car. Sometimes your nice car can get in the way. It's all about the confidence. So that and the masculinity, if you're igniting a woman's femininity and you say to her, I'm the kind of guy you need to know, you're going to get women where you got none before. But if you want to see her for more than once, if you would like to have what I call control over your dating life, right? If you want to be a man who's in control of your own dating destiny, you've got to make that woman feel comfortable in your presence. Because if she's a little creeped out by you, if she really doesn't know whether she wants to be alone in the car with you or not, ultimately you're going to get nowhere. Ultimately, you're going to get nowhere. Because a woman will not put herself through that. If a woman feels, there's just something about this guy I'm not so sure of, there won't be a second date. And I know a lot of guys who are great-looking guys, masculine guys, confident guys. And women just disappear after the first date. Why is that? Why is that? Because they failed to deploy when it came to giving that woman a feeling of confidence and security in their presence. You must inspire a woman's confidence. Now, what does that do? That takes you through a couple weeks, a month. You can, you know, date a woman for a while. You're igniting her femininity with true masculinity. You're a confident guy. And by the way, you got to keep all this stuff up after you meet her. It can't just be an act or a routine you run on night one. It can't happen. It's got to be authentic. And once you make her feel safe with you, you know, you get those three things together, you're going to get some women in your life. But I tell you what, if you're the kind of guy who wants to meet only the highest quality women, you're going to settle for no less than a woman who would never cheat on you, who will never lie to you, who would be a great mother to your kids, a woman who's going to treat you right day in, day out, be a wonderful, feminine, adoring woman who doesn't cuckold you, then take you to the cleaners afterwards. You want a woman like that. Like I said, you've got to deserve what you want, and what you're looking for is a woman of high character. And you've got to be a man of high character. What does character mean? Well, simply put, character means you've got a rock-solid cornerstone in your life of who you believe yourself to be. Now, it can evolve over time for the better. You can say, hey, look, you know what? I got some things in my life I want to change, and I'm going to intentionalize those habits so they're formed in my life and it really is who I am. You can do that. But you've got to know right now what you stand for. Stephen Covey, in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, talks about having a list of unifying principles, and they're present tense. They're not future tense. In other words, I'm a guy who doesn't lie. I'm a guy who doesn't cheat. I'm a guy who doesn't steal. You need to make a list of those things in your life, and they can be whatever you want. They can be, I'm a guy who makes people laugh whenever I'm in a social situation. It can be as simple as that. It can be a guy, you can say, I'm a guy who doesn't get drunk anymore the way I used to. I'm a guy who has control over my alcohol. I'm a guy who gives 100% at work. I'm a guy who gives 100% on the soccer field. You can make anything in that list as long as it defines who you are. So see, there's nothing woo-woo or metaphysical about this. This is you getting in touch with who you are as a man. And then you live it. And for me, part of having character is if I say I'm going to do something, that's what I do. I represent to you who I am, and I live my life as that person. The guy you hear on the phone right now, Bobby, I'm going to hang up the phone and be the same guy when I go in the other room and interact with Emily. Because that's who I am. Does that mean I have everything figured out in the character department? No, I don't think any of us who are breathing oxygen and fogging mirrors have everything figured out. But you're on that journey, and you evolve. And what does this do for a high-quality woman? It takes that sense of confidence, masculinity, and that feeling of security she has for you and locks it in long-term. It says to her, not only is the feeling I feel right now something I'm experiencing in the moment, but I can count on that feeling being there. I can count on that lifestyle being there into the future because this guy has galvanized the image I have of him in my brain as something that's going to be there long term. That's why men of character become the greatest men you've ever met, and that's why guys who don't have any character, who are blown and tossed around by the wind, get involved with bad decisions and have deathbed regrets. It's all because of character. And I'll tell you, you mentioned something earlier that I want to hit on. You said a lot of times guys want a great girlfriend, they want to be the greatest guy they can be, and they end up doing the whole pickup artist, you can get laid tonight thing. I think a lot of the reason that happens is because guys get swept up in marketing. The marketing message works. If you go read some of these internet marketers, they talk about 5 or 6 hot buttons, depending on who you talk to, that always work in marketing. And the seduction community and a lot of men's dating advice, indeed a lot of women's dating advice, hit on 3 of those a lot. And those 3 are sex sells, right? Immediate gratification sells. And the easy button sells. Grasp what I'm saying? In other words,
yep.
If I talk about sex, that's going to be intriguing to the mind who's buying something. If I talk about being able to get this done right now, in other words, you don't have to wait another minute. I'm going to give you what you want now. That sells. And this is not your fault. You know, some things aren't your fault. I'll tell you that straight up. The fact that masculinity, the rug was pulled out from under us, you know, guys are under 50 and we don't know how to be masculine anymore, I don't think that's really our fault. And I even say that in one of my web pages. But for the most part, when you're being told it's not your fault, that's someone giving you the easy button. In other words, here's just, you do this, it's a magic elixir, it's a magic pill, it's going to get taken care of. And a lot of that is in the seduction community. In other words, I'm going to teach you how to get laid tonight in 2 easy steps. I mean, how many times have you ever read that in a men's dating advice website? That's what is happening. Guys are responding to marketing instead of having character enough to listen to what their true needs are and to remain rock steady in pursuing that. Because here it is. Being great doesn't happen overnight, but it's worth the journey. And yes, you can have all the sex you want if you represent to women what they want you to be. So, you know, you talked about guys getting what they want. A lot of us are all caught up in our headspace, Bobby, and we're saying, okay, how do I get what I want? Well, there's a bunch of women out there going, how can I get what I want? How can I trick this guy into a relationship with me, and how can I get him to marry me? And they're the same women who date a guy for 2-3 years, and he just doesn't ever really seem to want to buy her a ring because he doesn't trust her, because she's all in it for herself. Meanwhile, they break up, and the very next girl he meets, he puts a ring on her finger in 3 weeks. Why? Because all she was up for was what she wanted. And I think a lot of us as guys are guilty of the same thing. We just want to get laid. We just want to have sex with this chick. So how do I get her to do that? Tell you what, here's the magic, if there is any. You become this big four guy. You become a masculine, confident guy who inspires confidence in women and has character. All of a sudden, women are going to be competing to be in your life. You show me a guy who says, men are the chasers and women are the choosers, and I'll show you a guy with no game, and that's what I just said, because they don't get it. Women don't think the way we do. women aren't thinking, oh, I could have sex with 100 guys tonight, so I'm just going to basically kick 99 of them to the curb. Women don't think like that. I get the emails that go to Emily and I from women all over the world saying the same thing. How do I get this guy to commit to me? Meanwhile, what do we guys do? We run away from the commitment because women are trying to rope us into that. So it isn't a matter of one gender being the chooser and the other being the chaser automatically. It's if you're trying to get what you want at the expense of the other gender's interest, you're always going to be the chaser, whoever you are. Meanwhile, that beautiful woman who everybody wants to have sex with is in control. Why? Because all these guys want to have sex with her. She holds all the cards because she has what they want, and they're all about getting what they want. Meanwhile, a guy who is the kind of man a woman would love to get married to someday, he holds all the cards for himself. He's the guy choosing the great women in his life. And here's the thing, guys. Just like that woman who's sexually attractive to all these guys isn't going to have sex with all those guys, she may not have sex with any of those guys. Just because you're the kind of man every woman dreams of getting married to doesn't mean you have to get married to anybody, let alone all of them. That's polygamy, for gosh sakes. Can't do it anyway. But when you represent what women want, you're in control, and that's the gift I'm trying to give to guys all over the world. And I think that's what makes X and Y communications different.
All right, Scott, well, how can our listeners out there get started this week in developing these four traits? I mean, what's the first step for somebody out there who says, you know what, I really like what you're saying, Scott, like what, you know, but how do I develop masculinity and confidence even, you know, like confidence, the same thing you said with dating is a lot of people want instant confidence. They want to, you know, take a pill that gives them confidence. I mean, what is your recommendation for a guy? Let's just stick with confidence for a second then.
Okay.
And say,
all right.
You know, a guy who wants to develop confidence, I mean, what's his first step? What's he got to do?
The first thing you do if you want to establish confidence is figure out what you're good at and figure out what you're already confident doing and do more of that. I'm a little weird. One of the things I love to do is public speaking. Public speaking is most people's greatest fear. For some reason, I really kind of like it. So if I were to want to make myself feel more confident in different areas, I would want to do some public speaking. If I consider myself to be a good writer, then what I would do is write a couple articles, put them out there, and let people give me good feedback on them. Do what it is you're good at, and feel the feedback coming in from what's good, and empower yourself to branch out a little bit and try to improve your skills and your confidence level in some other areas. Because confidence is all in your brain. It's all, I mean, you're either feeling good about your abilities or you're feeling not so good about your abilities. I mean, there's plenty of things I don't particularly feel confident about. But if I have gotten confidence from another source, and I can transfer that confidence into a new situation, my chances of it rubbing off positively are good. Now, it's very, very practical and very basic, but I think that's the first step, like you asked.
Okay. And what about some good short-term goals and maybe even some good long-term goals for a guy listening?
Well, as far as short-term goals, again, make that list of what it is you want. If right now you're not even talking to women, your goal should be, you know, you talk about goals that are reachable, right? Realistic, attainable, you know, it's the whole SMART acronym, right? You set goals that feel like you can reach them, that feel like something that you want to have to get done, right? And then you just go for it. Don't say, I'm going to be dating a supermodel in 30 days from now if you're not even talking to women today. Set a goal like, I'm going to talk to 3 women every day, even if I just say hello or I ask them something. That's how you start with the goals. Now, if you're already talking to women and you're already dating women, but you're dating the wrong women, you may say, look, instead of dating women I don't like, I'm going to date at least one woman a month I'm genuinely excited about going out with. Now, there has to be some qualifier there, or else it's not going to be something you can measure. That M in SMART is measurable, actually, right? So you want to have a goal that you know when you've reached it. It can't just be, I'm going to be a better guy by, you know, I'm going to be a better guy, right? That's not a goal. That's a wish. And then you put a timeline on that goal. You know, as I said, within 30 days or by this date, because a goal should be a dream with a deadline. Otherwise, it's just something nebulous out there. And that's how guys set goals for themselves. And it's going to be different for every guy. It's going to be different for every single guy. So to wrap it up, decide what you want and then set a very specific, attainable goal for yourself that's measurable. And then get that goal out of the way, then set another one.
All right. What are some of the major pitfalls to watch out for when they're embarking on this journey towards the goal? Any particular thing you notice that a lot of your students run into, obstacles that are kind of commonplace?
Two big ones jump right out at me. First of all, if you get negative feedback from one human being, like, you know, you try to be nice to some woman and she turns around and goes, you know, you're just a total so-and-so, you're a jerk, and by the way, she validates your biggest sticking point, your biggest limiting belief right there on the spot. I've known guys to literally crawl on a shell for a decade and never talk to a woman again because of one bad experience with one woman. Guys, if you let that happen to yourself, you have granted superpowers to a woman who doesn't even care about you. You have given her all-powerful, omnipotent control over you. Don't do that. One person shouldn't be the judge and jury of your entire experience as a man. Don't let that happen to you. But I see it happen all the time. It's one person's opinion. Let me tell you something, man. With 70-some thousand people on Twitter and 20-some thousand people on my dating, my mailing list, if I let every bit of negative information that comes my way affect me, I would be a basket case. Now, when I see patterns, yeah, I do something about it. But when one person just decides to run a rant on me that doesn't have real basis in anything, I don't let that ruin my whole day. But I see guys literally having their whole lives ruined because of a woman they thought was attractive, and wait for it, they pre-qualified her as this great woman who's desirable to them, so that when that rejection happened in a mighty way, they'd long since let it become a contest. Now they feel like they've been beaten by a girl. You know, all this bad psychology happens. Don't let that happen. Second point, and this is probably just as big. Matter of fact, it could be bigger. It's okay to be a man. Look, you're living in a culture where you've been told being masculine is not such a good thing anymore. You've been told men are the ones who start wars, while women are the life givers. By the way, I have a video about that on the website. I think every guy should watch. But guys, here's the truth. There's nothing wrong with being a man. Women out there, the feminine women, they want this masculine guy we've been talking about. Because the opposite of a woman, let's put it this way. Just because a woman has a virtue of being a life giver and a nurturer, doesn't mean you are the opposite because manhood is the opposite of womanhood. It doesn't mean you are the opposite. There's a vice and then there's a virtue that stands alone. That virtue has to be there or else we would all cease to exist. Every man can't be a raper, a rapist, a pillager, a warmonger, or else there would be no world. And it isn't that you are the opposite of a woman's trait. It's that there is a masculine virtue that's the opposite of that vice. And that virtue is compassion. This is probably frying guys' circuits. But every great man who's ever lived has been the guy who steps up to the plate, and had the courage to be compassionate. Abraham Lincoln, right? Slavery. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And Winston Churchill with Hitler. They were the guys who had the courage to step up to the plate and put an end to the warmongers. It took a man to do that. And that's just an example of how you've been fed bad information about what it takes to be a man. Meanwhile, women out there want their manhood back. Guys, the mistake men make is they walk into dates thinking, okay, I don't want to bother a woman, or they don't even approach a woman because they don't want to bother her. They say, well, you know what, I'm a guy, and I'm sort of kind of the oppressor, and women are this oppressed race up there, and, you know, manhood, all male behavior is bad behavior, so I kind of just need to soften things up, you know, not necessarily be so brash, definitely not be Mr. Nice, definitely be Mr. Nice Guy, right? And what do women end up thinking? Well, I'm out with this guy who's neuter. He's just a human. He's not a male human. And women don't go out on dates to find friends, guys. They go out on dates because they want a man. They're not like you. They're not necessarily attracted to women. They're attracted to men. So it's up to you to embrace being a man, realize that manhood never left. Masculinity did not go out of style. And just because a particularly vocal subsegment of today's culture is trying to tell you, you need to change masculinity, think of it this way. Did anybody ever give you a roadmap for which to replace masculinity? No. There's nothing out there you were told is a suitable replacement for masculinity. You were just told what you are, who you are, is no good. Well, perhaps that's because masculinity is just fine the way it is. Embrace it. But be a high-quality man. Don't be a man of vice. Be a man of virtue. That is an incredibly important step to remember and a huge mistake guys make. Don't be neuter on dates, guys, because you're not going to attract anyone. And by all means, don't try to feminize yourself thinking women are going to be impressed, because women aren't going to be impressed. That's not really what they want. Women, even if they say so, do not want a woman with a penis. They want a man. So embrace that. Embrace that.
Yeah, I could totally second that. That's something that you definitely want to keep in mind when you're out with a girl is that, and it is funny, it is society or whatever it is that's brainwashed us to believe that, like even if something as simple as when you're going out with a girl and saying, where do you want to go, and then almost wanting to put it on her to pick the place, and I've seen so many guys just do that now where they're like, well, what do you want? What do you? They're like afraid to make the decision when most girls, they don't care. They just want you to say, this is what we're doing. They want that masculinity.
Leadership is masculine.
Leadership, totally.
Absolutely.
Well, Scott, you actually sent me over an outline of your upcoming master plan program, and I mean, it got me excited because the outline had a lot of hot buttons, a lot of things that I've personally been thinking a lot about. You know, not just even in terms of dating, they're just things that in terms of life skills in general and just being, you know, a better person that you know, I had seen that and I wanted to talk a little bit more and kind of get a little bit more feel into what exactly this master plan program is. You want to just tell us a little bit about what it is and when it'll be available?
Sure. That master plan that you're talking about is actually something I've been being hammered for by the guys I know. It's the roadmap, the definitive roadmap on how to get back your birthright as a man. Guys, you were born to attract women. That's what we've been talking about here. In order to become this great man who women crave, you got to have a plan. You got to have a roadmap because nobody else has given it to you. And that's what the master plan is all about. We talk about the big four that I just mentioned and some other things too, like how to outfit your life as a great man, you know, the outer game of it as it were. I have what I call how to approach women in the post-pickup era, and I have as my guest on that Marnie Kinross, so we went right to the source and asked women, you know, a woman what she thought. And lots of other ways on there to talk about, or let me say it this way, lots of other individual programs on there in very specialized ways teaching you how to be a more effective man with women. One of them is how to maximize your personality type no matter what it is so that you can attract more women. A lot of guys think, you know, if I'm not the extroverted party guy, no woman's going to want me. That couldn't be further from the truth, so we cover that. Body language, nonverbal communication. How does a great man carry himself? That's important to establishing masculinity with a woman. Also, how to relate to different kinds of women. Not every woman is the party girl. How do you relate to women with certain personality types who are into certain things? That's something I never heard talked about before ever, and yet we talk about it in this program. So that's what the master plan is all about.
Yeah, it sounds really great. And even somebody like me, I've had I've been in a relationship now going on 3 years, so I'm not even in the picking up the latest in the hottest dated trends, but I saw the outline to your course, and I said, you know, that's something that I would even want, even being in a relationship, because those are traits that will, you know, leadership, masculinity, that's things that are going to affect you in all areas of your life, you know, career, family, everything down the line is definitely traits that you need.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, if you're a guy who is just now getting started in learning how to attract women and building that social life and you want to meet more women, this is the program for you. But I couldn't have said it better myself, Bobby. Even guys who have been married 50 years can always go from good to better or from better to great. And the master plan really is that guide for guys who want to get better with women by becoming a better man in general.
You want to tell the listeners where they can find it?
Okay. I also want to tell the listeners how to find some free stuff from me instead of just...
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, we have a podcast called The Chick Whisperer. You can get that on iTunes under Health and Self-Help. That's 100% free. Go get my Twitter book at chwiduction.com. That's also free. You can get on my newsletter, which I put my heart and soul into every time I write. I put real content into every newsletter I put out there. It usually takes me about 3 or 4 hours to write each one. So that's there for you. Got a wealth of articles that you can find at www.deservewhatyouwant.com, and that's there for you. And you can always find videos and all kinds of free stuff at the blog, which you can get from the main site at deservewhatyouwant.com. And if you do want to learn more about the master plan, I think you're really going to like it. I've packed a lot of value into it. There's some amazing bonuses from some of the biggest names out there who I'm friends with, and these guys have given me, like, real bonuses, not some 3-page excerpt from something, but, like, massive full-length audio programs and whole books and everything. So check it out. You can find it at a special URL that Bobby set up for you guys at TSB Mag, and that's tsbmag.com/masterplan, all one word on master plan, masterplan. That's about all I got.
All right, excellent. And you said there was a video. You had mentioned a video earlier. Is that on Deserve What You Want?
Well, actually, they can go to tsbmag.com/masterplan. And what I have there is a video that I recorded, an interview with a young woman named Kia. She's very cute, like I said, and she's also utterly dateless. And what she's going to talk about is a real eye-opener, Bobby. She's talking about how guys don't even approach her and what she sees going on when she's out, and what she and her friends and even her sisters would like to see happen with guys. And I think it's just something that it's just a rare chance for guys to get inside a woman's head and see what's going on. And hopefully it'll inspire guys to do something about it and go talk to more women.
Yeah. Excellent, Scott. I think you did give some great information today. And like I said, as being a guy who is in a relationship and really gets an opportunity to spend, you know, a lot of time talking to a woman, you really get to see that the characteristics that you're talking about, such as masculinity and leadership. I mean, to a girl, when a girl opens up to you and drops the front, you see that's ideally what they want. You know, that's what they are looking for in a man, and they're almost powerless to it. And I can totally attest to everything you just said.
Yeah.
Definitely great talking to you, and I know we will talk again.
Likewise, man. I appreciate the invite.
All right. Excellent, Scott.
This is Bobby Rio. Thanks again for listening to our interview series. Remember, you can find our entire library of interviews with dating coaches like Savoy, Stephen Nash, AFC, Adam Lines, Cajun, Ross Jeffries, Vin Carlo, and much more at www.greatseducer.com. And don't forget to keep up with us daily with the latest in men's education and entertainment at tsbmag.com. There you can find fashion advice, dating advice, and just general alpha living.